Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories and life lessons from amazing Hell Yes entrepreneurs who are running their for-purpose businesses and living their Hell Yes lives. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hell Yes Entrepreneurs, welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Entrepreneur Podcast. I am your host, Norman Bell, and I am excited to have as my guest today, David Wood. Now, David Wood left a cushy Park Avenue job 20 years ago to build the world's largest coaching business. He became number one on Google for life coaching, serving an audience of 150,000 coaches. David has also coached thousands of hours in 12 countries around the globe. He's the author of Get Paid for Who You Are, which features a foreword by Jack Canfield, author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. He was also nominated to the Transformational Leadership Council alongside such thought leaders as Don Miguel Ruiz, John Gray, and presidential candidate Marianne Williamson. David believes that the tough conversations we avoid are our doorways to confidence, success, and love. He coaches high-performing entrepreneurs, executives and teams, and now prison inmates to create amazing results and deep connection, one conversation at a time. David Wood, welcome to the Hell Yes Entrepreneur Podcast.
Thanks, Norman. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you being here today. And I will get into everything that you kind of touch on, a lot of the stuff that we heard about in the bio there, in the introduction. But I always like to start off by asking my guests, what is your hell yes? What is that thing that really lights you up and makes you come alive?
I love people, including myself, being self-expressed. Mm-hmm. So I think as a kid, I didn't stand up to bullies, and that hurt me. Mm-hmm. I think it hurt me more than it would have to just get punched in the face. And I didn't know how to ask girls out. And over the last 20, 30 years, as I've learned what full self-expression feels like, and to say some of the things that are actually scary, but in service of simply being myself, I love that, and I want that for everybody else. So my hell yes is when someone faces something that's awkward or scary for them, and then they find their own courage to be themselves. That's my hell yes.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. And you're in the right place talking about self-expression. A lot of what we talk about here is, you know, finding that thing that really lights you up authentically. And I, you know, I can relate to your story there. Like you know, maybe there's some people that have known that right from the start and have never had a problem with that. But I'll bet there's a lot of us out there that can relate to that story of, you know, not standing up to the bully, not asking the girl out, and having these kind of painful experiences where we didn't, you know, really authentically shine, and then finding a way to that later in life. So, David, can you talk about a, if you can remember, and you know, no pressure if you can't remember the exact date, but you know, a moment in your early life when you did start to authentically let yourself shine there and feel that in a way that you hadn't before.
I think it began for me back in 1996, let's say July 1996, when I did a personal growth program. And I was very cynical. I just thought these were a bunch of self-help junkies and the leaders were out to get my money. They all wore name tags and they smiled way too much. And I'm like, I'm going to get in and get out. And they actually cracked my cynicism. It wasn't until the second course, because I got enough out of the first one that I was like, all right, I'll do one more. But I heard one of the leaders whisper to another one, it just makes you cry, doesn't it, to see them blossom? Mm. I was like, what? Like, people really care about this? And in the course, they made me, I know that's not responsible language, but a lot of the course was having tough conversations, having scary conversations, going back through my life and working out who do I hate? Who do I resent? Who haven't I forgiven? who did I hurt in some way and haven't apologized? And conversations the normal person would never imagine having. Mm-hmm. And I would have to do this with coaching and with support. And each time I got better and better. And now it's not like there aren't areas that are scary for me, but some of the areas that used to be are easy for me because I've been able to practice. So for example, one conversation was, there was a kid from school who used to pick on me and make fun of me and the class would laugh. And I was hurt by it. And I realized later after I made this scary call is because I really liked him. And we were friends at one stage. And I tell you what, making that call was one of the probably top 10 hardest calls I've made in my life. 20 years after school to say, I felt like you bullied me and one-upped me all the time. And I've been resenting it and I'm letting it go. And I just wanted to clear it. Mm. I had an incredible conversation with this guy who I thought was an asshole.
Mm. What did he say?
No, go ahead. I want you to ask the question.
Yeah. Yeah. No. What, how did it go? What did he say?
The first thing that allowed me to have it, because I said to the coach, I can't do it. And she said, why? And this is one of my tips to having tough conversations is identify your fear. What's your concern about having the conversation? I said, he's going to think I'm a dickhead. And she said, then lead with that. And that gave me the freedom to at least call him and say, I can't believe I'm calling you. I'm worried you're going to think I'm a dickhead. He said, oh, what is it? And I told him about it. And I was so worried for whatever the response was going to be. And he said, well, what can I say or do now to help you or us move forward?
Mm.
That transformed my world. That shifted my reality. I was dead set for 20 years. This guy was an asshole. And now he's not. And I'm like, if that's possible, what else is possible? So this training through Landmark Education is the name of the company. I've sent a lot of people, half my family's done it, did their course. And that's what got me in beginning to do these awkward, scary things. There is a reason we're not fully expressed. It's because there are fears lying just around the edges.
Yeah.
But I'm excited, this is my hell yes, at finding out what are those fears. Let's look at it and let's look at a way that you could actually have a voice in the matter. And we're really talking about leadership training when you get down to it, but don't tell anybody.
Okay, awesome. So this gets us, that's a great personal story that brings us into this topic of tough conversations, which is it looks to be your kind of specialty area right now, or area of focus. So let's talk a little bit more about that. There's a couple of different I'd be kind of curious to know some other tough conversations that you've had, but let's maybe take it to a more general level. Let's say there's somebody out there that's in the audience, whether they're a small business owner or a leader in their company. What are some high level things that you would want to introduce around this topic of tough conversations?
To introduce, well, firstly, we're missing out. So we go along life and we tend to avoid discomfort, and that makes sense, right? I'm a creature of comfort. I got a cup of tea right here, all right, for this interview.
Got mine as well, yeah.
God, nice. and I'm a wuss when it comes to a lot of discomfort. And a lot of us are. Like 200 years ago, I don't know, maybe we lose a foot and we just kind of hobble over to the barn and close the door and put a Band-Aid on it or something, wrap it in a rag. I don't know. But today, it doesn't take much for us to get uncomfortable. And it's fine that we go towards comfort. But we're missing out, and I say we stay within. Have you seen The Truman Show?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Truman Show, he's got walls. And he doesn't even know he's got walls, but we've all got those walls. I say whenever we look into those tough conversations, we get to push back our walls and things change. Like this guy, I thought he was an asshole. Turns out he's not. I've got a client working at a big sales company. And he's like, how do I say to my boss, I think you're wrong. The strategy you've got is wrong. It's going to hurt us. I might lose my job speaking up to my boss.
Yeah.
Now, it's true. The reason we avoid these tough conversations is there's a risk. Someone might not like you. They might get upset. They might break up with you. I mean, ultimately, if you've broken the law and you go and try and make it right, you might get prosecuted. You might go to prison. There's stuff that can happen. But let's look at the fear, but let's also look at the profit. Let's look at the upside of what could happen. So this guy, what he gets is he gets to feel proud of himself. He gets to feel good about himself that he at least spoke up. Now, I didn't just say just launch in there and do it. We role played it and found a way that he could position it and check for permission. Say, hey, can I be the squeaky wheel here? I just want to get this off my chest, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but I want to have my say. Boss says yes, now he can go and have it. Maybe he changes the direction of the company. Mm-hmm. Maybe he gets a promotion. But what I've realized is the real benefit is feeling good in yourself that you spoke up and that you spoke the truth. And then if you get a great result, which often happens, what a bonus.
Right.
But it's not actually required. Just do the work to be you and the results will come.
Right. So it's taking the action is the win, right? That's the victory. And letting go of the result. Maybe they're going to have a positive reaction and something good will come out of it. Maybe not. But it's really that you've spoken your truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going through one today in my head because I realized I'm nervous to I've been working with a client for a year, and I think the coaching fee is too low. I think it's time to bring him back into line with what my fees are now and with what other clients are paying. And I noticed I'm really putting that off. And so I went through my own process, and we'll talk more about where people can get the 4-step blueprint for a tough conversation. But I was like, what's my hope? Well, my hope is that we'll find a number that works for both of us. We both feel empowered. That's my hope. So already I'm feeling more open to having it. And then what's my fear? Well, my concern is he might go, I've actually been thinking maybe it's a good time to stop right now. And I love working with him. I don't want to stop. So now that I've distinguished that, I can share both of those things. I don't really want to keep working with you. And this number's not really working for me. Let's find a number that's working for both of us. And so today I put it in a video. You don't always have to do it live. Don't do it by email, right? But I think a video is a great way as a first step if it's something really awkward for you. And because if you don't like how the video came out, you can delete it and you get a do-over until you're happy with how it sounds. And then let them know, I want to talk about it live. I just wanted to put some thoughts down in the beginning. That's a black belt tip, I tell you. That's worked for me really well.
Interesting. Okay, so just to get into the nuts and bolts of that, so maybe some people could walk away from listening to this with yep. something they could do. How do you do that? So you record that just on your laptop, and then how do you share it? Do you share it via a link in an email, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, a couple of ways to do the video, and then if you like, we can talk through the steps so people can do this at home, of the actual conversation. But the video... If I'm at home, I'll use loom.com.
Loom. Okay.
Loom.loom. That's a game changer. Uh-huh. You just click a button. It can record you. It can record your screen. It can record both. It's free. And then it gives you a link. And you send somebody a link. So this, my friend said this is a game changer, and he's right. But I was out and about, so I just recorded a video on my phone and then send an email, and my iPhone uses MailDrop for large videos. So that's a way to get things out. Now, look, if you're going for black belt points, do it live, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll do it live because that's just better. But if I really don't have it clear and I'm not sure how it's going to come out, I'll do the video approach. And if you're working with a coach, you can role play this with a coach,
yeah,
and make sure it feels right. But the steps, should I mention the 4 steps?
Go for it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Right. And then, well, yeah.
Well, firstly, there's a worksheet to fill in so that you can get your answers straight.
Yeah.
You can work out what is it, what do I want? Is there a request I can make? That's a really powerful thing. So you get yourself prepped. And you can even use the worksheet. Like you can go to someone and say, I want to ask you about something, and I wasn't sure how to do it, and I wrote down some notes so that I don't get all jumbled in my head. Like, you can do that.
Just be upfront, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a lot to – I have a great memory, and I can often remember all the points and then think on my feet, but I know not everybody can do that. So you can have it written down, and then here are the four steps. One, ask permission for the conversation. So like, hey, do you have a few minutes? This is one of my favorites. Do you have a few minutes for a potentially awkward and possibly interesting conversation?
Okay. Hell yes, entrepreneurs. You take down those notes there. That's a good one. Okay. Say that one more time.
Really
say it one again.
Say it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a few minutes for a potentially awkward and possibly interesting conversation?
Absolutely.
Right. They're curious.
And
you've let them know what's coming, you know, a bit about what's coming. And then the second thing, you share one hope and one fear. And you'll have this on your worksheet. You're like, you know, my hope out of this conversation is that this will happen. And my fear, or you could say concern, is, you know, is you might feel defensive, or you might get upset, or you might break up with me, or you might fire me, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But this allows you to be relational and even vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And they can get where you're coming from. Like, oh, okay, all right, here's what's happening, versus you just pretending you've got it all together. And then the third thing, you share what's up, tell them the issue. And if you have a request from your worksheet, you make a request. And here's what I would ask. It's not a demand. Here's what I would ask. For example, for me with my client, I ask that you pay my regular fee. Or with this guy, with his boss, I would ask that you consider this new strategy, and we really get to talk about it with more people before going down this other path. And then the last step, you thank them for listening. Like, thanks for hearing me out. I really appreciate it. I really felt like you were listening. And then get curious. Mm-hmm. And here's where you get curious about their world and ask them something like, how is it to hear that? That's a great black belt line to use when you want to check for impact. How is it to hear that? What do you think? What's your side like? Do you have any better ideas than that? And this is a game changer. If you don't go in with an attachment to they have to do what you want, and you're actually looking to be relational, explore what's the best outcome, you might hear some things that you hadn't thought of. You might have a better idea. You might come to something together.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's great. So, Hell Yes Entrepreneurs, there'll be a link in the show notes where you can get this, the PDF that goes along with the four steps that David just talked through there. We'll mention that again at the end. I was wondering, is there anything I've had, I don't know that I've had tough conversation training, but I've had some, you know, I've done some reading around and had some tough conversations, particularly with family members. And I remember one thing that worked for me was to say, to establish the rule, like, hey, we're gonna kind of speak one at a time. So I don't know exactly how to say that, but just sort of like, I'll speak, and then when it's your turn to speak, I'm just going to listen, right? So if there was any kind of a friction in the conversation, that there wasn't a chance for this kind of, you know, for us to talk over each other or escalate or whatever. Is that in there at all?
I like that. This is why people came up with the concept of a talking stick in circles, right? So we know who's got the focus. There are some pro tips on the four-step blueprint. And one of the pro tips is if you feel like they're not listening and it gives you a line of dialogue you can use. Hey, you know what? I think this will take me just about a minute to get all this out, or maybe 2 minutes to get all this out. Can you give me a chance to get it all out? And then I'd love to hear anything you've got to say.
Yeah.
That'd be the simple version. Your version, I would say, would be another level up for someone where you've got that kind of relatedness. Like, we both have a lot of charge here right now, I think, on this. What do you say we try and speak one at a time? I like that as well.
I like the way that you're speaking there. It feels like it's without that charge. You know, you're really trying to relate to the person, like, hey, you know, and you're also being vulnerable right from the start, saying like, you know, this is something that I feel kind of awkward in talking about. Would you be willing to listen to this? You know, so I appreciate that.
It sets the context so they know where you're coming from. Too often, and I'm guilty of this as well, we'll just go in and launch into the thing.
Yeah.
And people won't know what's coming. Like yesterday, I caught myself doing it. There's a mover who was moving some furniture to the house. And my message was, what's the status? That's it, right? No context. I could have said what's happening to let him know what's coming. Hey, I'm checking in to find out what the status is. Where are you? Now, that's a micro incident of me just not setting the context. But when we can let people know what's coming and prep them, I think it's a kind act and it's going to go better.
Yeah, probably going to be more successful on your end as well. Are there some like most common types of tough conversations that you help your clients with, whether they are, let's say, leaders in companies or if they're entrepreneurs? Just thinking of the audience out there, obviously, there's probably a lot of small business owners out there, so perhaps leaders in companies, and then maybe a little bit on the personal side of things as well. Like what are some of the most common ones you see?
Yeah. Well, one example is my boss is doing something that's annoying.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like my assistant 2 weeks ago quit and I didn't know that there was anything wrong, but there were some things I was doing that she didn't like, and she it didn't occur to her she could have a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. So now we've had a conversation and we've fixed everything and now she's great. But that's one thing. For example, I feel like my boss is critical.
Yeah.
And I'd like to feel more supported. Another one is I feel like my boss is micromanaging and I'd like to have more responsibility and a freer rein. Mm-hmm. From the boss's point of view, a harder one is your performance is not up to the standard that I'd like. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to do better. It's something. It's like, how do I not offend this person and yet share some feedback about how something's landing?
It's funny. I had it without going into any personal detail, but I had a conversation with somebody yesterday and they had exactly those two things going on. There was something that they felt uncomfortable about talking to their boss about. And then also they had a person that was reporting to him that, he felt uncomfortable about needing to talk to her about her performance. So recently heard about those ones.
Yeah. I just brought up a top 10 list. I've got a top 10 list at work. I'm not feeling supported. I'm not feeling appreciated. Saying no, like I don't agree or I don't want to do that, can be very difficult. Telling your boss you don't want to work those extra hours on the weekend. Telling someone they screwed up. Saying, I screwed up. Hey, I made a mistake and I'm worried about what's going to happen. But I made a mistake back when I was in corporate land. I wasn't following up with the billings for a client and the billings were kind of accruing and I just wasn't worrying about it. And then the client's boss got upset about something and just said, we're not paying. So the company lost quite a lot of money and it was my fault. So that's a good example of, hey, I screwed up. You're fired is a really tough conversation. I just coached a VP at a big company, had to like let somebody go. And then I coached a client at a little company, like a tiny little school, and she's got to let somebody go. Mm. And it's scary for people. Mm-hmm. How about I want a raise? I want a promotion. So I think those are some good examples in the corporate land.
I want to come back to a couple of those in just a second, but what about if you're a small business person, what are you seeing in that realm? What might that be, that difficult conversation with a client that you just talked about? Like, hey, I want to charge a higher rate or of course I know just any sales conversation can be difficult, but that's,
Well, that's another one. Yeah. That was next on the list here is a sales conversation. Let's say a client says, I just had a client email me yesterday and she signed up for a year of coaching. And she's like, I'm not feeling excited about anything. I want to take a 2-month break. Well, that's a potentially tricky conversation. Mm-hmm. Like part of me is like, hey, take a year off. And part of me is like, is that what you want from your motivational coach? Mm-hmm. To say, mm-hmm. Okay. Sure, you're not excited, so we're not going to have coaching. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was handled, you know, super fast. But that's another example of a tricky, that'd be a client conversation. Mm-hmm. And then that one about raising the fees could be a sales conversation, or even just the person says no and you can kind of feel like there's something that hasn't been said. So mm-hmm. that could be a tough conversation and just getting it out on the table. Can we put our cards on the table right now? Mm-hmm. I've got the sense this could be really great for you. I've got a feeling you don't think it is. Would you be willing to share?
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
Another one, and a lot of these conversations work across the board. I don't have a list for small business and big corporations. I think they're similar. Sure. And also when we get to the personal, a lot of these are similar too. And when I go into prisons, they're dealing with some of these issues. I mean, it's not going to be you're fired, but here's an example across the board. I don't like you being late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want you to be on time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how about I feel excluded?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the team's going out to drinks or there's a meeting or you're talking about some initiatives. I want to play. Is there a way I can be included? That could happen in a relationship as well. Your partner's got all these friends, is doing some stuff, and you're like, what about me?
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. I hear vulnerability is sort of like an ongoing theme here. Like you just have to put yourself out there if you're going to have this kind of a conversation, which is, you know, a lot of us stay inside of our comfort zone and just really don't go there. So let's jump over to the results then. So when people do this, because I'll bet I can imagine there's a lot of people listening to this saying like probably thinking of some tough conversations they need to have. But whether they have it or not, maybe they'll download your blueprint, but like what percentage of them will actually go on to have that tough conversation? It might be less. So what's the result? So what are the benefits of having this conversation? I heard it from your initial story about how you kind of cleared this kind of baggage you'd been carrying around about this particular person. But what kinds of results are you seeing from people who are doing this work?
Well, I'll give you one example of an executive director who finally went and talked to his boss and said, he didn't do it very clearly, but because we hadn't role played this one, but he basically said he wasn't feeling very secure in his job. And he asked if the boss would be willing to give him termination protection, which is basically a guarantee of a severance package if he's terminated. Now if we'd role played it, he would have been able to be more direct in saying, I don't feel secure in my job. Now what happened out of him going and taking a risk and bringing up the issue, even though it was indirectly, was the boss realized that he could do a much better job of managing. He realized he'd been out of touch. He realized he'd been supporting another employee at a similar level and not making clear the chain of command. So my client thought that his job might be gone soon. And he was able to clear up a lot of misunderstanding. Like, no, that employee is never going to take your job. Even if you weren't here, that would never happen. It's not appropriate. And I need to do a better job of making you feel valued. And I'm going to change some management practices. That's a really big result I saw. The client didn't even see it. He's like, really? Was that good? I'm like, are you kidding? It's like he kind of like ripped off the Band-Aid and now air can get to the wound and it can heal. And it looks like some change might come out of it. And now you've got more information that you're more solid in this position.
And he also probably appreciates that he's clear about, your, that person's concerns, and maybe admires the fact that you know, he was able to go to him and have that conversation.
That's right. Right. So look, I understand the risk, and the mind will want to protect us and say, oh no, don't do that. That could blow up. It's true. But I believe if it's going to blow up, I'd rather it blow up now rather than hanging over my head. Let's have it out, find out where we stand. And if it turns out I should be looking for a job, I'd rather know that now. Mm-hmm. Then know it in 2 years from now, once I've invested all this.
I'm just imagining, I can think of bosses that I've had in the past, and some of them I can imagine having a conversation like this with, and others that were like, oh, there's no way I would ever approach XYZ person with something like this. And I, imagining maybe somebody listening to this is like, yeah, that's great for some bosses, but not my boss.
Right.
Let's say I just got chewed out yesterday. And I got chewed out the day before and the day before that. And now I'm going to go and try to still have this conversation. You would still recommend that? I mean, maybe more than ever.
Right? I'd recommend filling in the worksheet.
Yeah.
You fill in the worksheet because the mind just says, no, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
You do the worksheet, you shine the light on it.
Yeah.
And you might realize your hope is that your boss might stop chewing you out, maybe get more positive, for example. That might be the hope. Another hope is that you might feel better about yourself for speaking up for yourself. So you start to generate the hopes, and then you look at the fear. Fear is that my boss is going to yell at me again. But if the boss is going to yell at me again, I haven't really lost anything. I've already been yelled at twice.
Right.
And so I feel like there's a big upside. And if it turns out the boss is so annoyed by me speaking up that I get fired, then I should probably be fired from that company. I shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it's probably time to go. Why drag it out, right?
Yeah. I'll give you another example from the personal realm. This is a big one. I was coaching a man who just had this thing weighing on him from like 20, 30 years ago. When he was a kid, maybe a teenager, he and another friend got together and went and burgled a house in the community. Mm. They stole a bunch of stuff from the house, and it was someone they knew. It was one of the people they hang out with. They just went like, let's go and steal some stuff. And for 20, 30 years, never said anything about it. Mm-hmm. So if you can imagine like how that could weigh on someone's conscience, and just particularly if you do any work around in integrity and you believe in speaking the truth, then you got this secret, mm-hmm. this shame that you just did something that you don't agree with now. That's where guilt comes from. And I coached him through, he brought it to me. He said, I think I want to confess. After all this time, I want to go. So I coached him through the conversation and his values and, you know, his hope out of it and the fear. And he was willing to risk possible prosecution, not very likely, but it could have been prosecution, could have been real harm to his reputation. If this guy decided to demonize him in the community, because this is his hometown, mm-hmm. and he went and did it. He went and had dinner with the guy and he confessed. He said what he did. He apologized.
Wow.
I think he's going to actually bring him a VCR and some of the things that were stolen. But, and the guy, like, there wasn't a lot of impact on the guy. This is the other thing you realize with tough conversations. It's often way bigger our own mind.
Yeah.
Than mm-hmm. it is out in the world for the other person. Mm-hmm. And this was the case here. This guy's like, wow, man. All right. Well, that's great that you've told me and no big deal, but you better pay me back.
Yeah. Yeah. and that was it. That's good. Yeah.
So now well you asked about well the benefits.
Worked. Yeah.
You asked about the benefits. What's the benefit of now feeling free?
Oh my God.
Of that not hanging over your head and feeling good about yourself. Like, what does that do for your subconscious? What does it do for your dreams? What does it do for your self-esteem? I'm a big fan because I've been, you know, working at this stuff for 20, 30 years, and I'm trying to get people to drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You know, if you're willing to take a risk and be vulnerable, usually good things will come. Maybe you get whacked, right? Maybe you get an outcome that doesn't look good. But at the end of the day, even those outcomes, by telling the truth,
yeah.
I don't know if they're, I mean, if you're going to go to jail for 20 years, all right, you want to really think about that. You want to talk to a lawyer. You want to really make sure that there's some profit in it.
Yeah.
But otherwise,
Yeah, worth the effort. To touch on that piece of it, so tell me a little bit about your work with prison inmates. First, where did that come from? And then you seem to mention that kind of across the board, including prison inmates, CEOs of companies, etc. There's commonalities there. So first though, where did this start from?
Well, I first heard about a volunteer organization going into prison and dancing with the inmates. And I've been part of a dance community for a long time, learning how to move my body. And I was just fascinated. I was like, what an amazing service. And I'm fascinated by the whole idea of not having freedom. And I think I realized that I take my freedom for granted. So when I heard about someone teaching authentic relating skills and tough conversations in prison, I was like, how do I play? How do I be a part of this? And so now I've been into 4 prisons and we do a 2-day program, and there's a nonprofit that I'm working with. It's called Authentic Relating International, doing amazing work. And I go along and I co-lead these courses, and we teach them. One of the things we teach them is how to have tough conversations. Now, they're facing a lot, you know, a lot of these are similar issues. A lot of the issues we'll have in the workplace comes down to, I don't like your behavior, mm-hmm. and I want to change your behavior. Mm-hmm. I want my boss to be a little more encouraging. Well, can you imagine talking to a corrections officer and trying to enroll the corrections officer and being a little more positive?
Hey,
that's a tough conversation.
That's a tough conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But it's the same conversation. Telling another inmate, hey, can you keep the cell tidier?
You're right.
Right. Or, hey, I feel excluded and I'd like to play. Can I hang out with you guys? That's a big one in prison. Because there are lunch tables that you don't sit at, and there are some of them, it's divided by race. You just don't do that. But there are people who are now challenging it, and they're like, "Hey, I'm not going to ignore you because you're black or because you're white." Mm. So you know, it's a different context for sure in the workplace where you're like, "Can I come to drinks with you guys?" But it's the same thing. Yeah. Can I hang out with you? I'd like to be more connected, or I'd like to go this way. So human to human.
Yeah.
It's so similar, some of it. Oops. Whoa, we're there already? It's my reminder for my next appointment, but I've still got a few minutes.
Okay, sure. Well, yeah, sure. That will be mindful of your time, though. Well, yeah, so that's really interesting, the commonality there. And a lot of it sounds like it's about connection, right? Like, hey, I want more connection. I want to improve the way we connect. You know, I'm feeling left out. I'd like to, you know, be included, et cetera. That's interesting that's...
And I want to change behavior. Would you change something? Or, hey, I don't want to do that anymore. Like these are, I've seen now like how common these threads are through all the communities, relationship, personal, prison, small business, big business. I don't agree with you. I'm a no to that. I screwed up. You screwed up. A lot of these personal issues.
Well, David, as we start to wind down, just to touch on a couple of things, I guess probably just for a minute or two, I just was curious to ask about, you know, in your bio, it says that you had the world's largest coaching business and you became number one on Google for life coaching. Tell us a little bit about that business. It sounds like, I'm not sure if that's the current state of your business, but do touch on that just a little bit more.
Right. That's definitely historical. That's where I started. I started as a consulting actuary. And then when I went into coaching, I was successful early and I had clients in 5 countries and I'm working from my hammock by the water. And people started asking, how do you do that? Coaching was just starting to get, you know, written about in the newspapers. And so I started helping some coaches and I quickly became the coach's coach. And then back in 2002, I created my first information product by recording a speech I gave to an international coaching conference. And it was well received and the product went well. And I started building my newsletter and then getting more traffic. And I studied SEO back before SEO was a term, I think. And I became number one on, back then it was Alta Vista, was one of the big search engines. And then when Google came out, I was number one on that for a couple of years for life coaching. And I built up to about 10 or 12 information products. I had 150,000 coaches and wannabe coaches on my email list. And I didn't even know I was the largest coaching company until Alex Mandosian, who's a really amazing marketer and trainer in the US, he said, "You are the largest provider to the coaching industry in the world." I was like, "Damn, that sounds good."
Yeah.
So I did that. And then 2 years ago, I let all of that go and I stopped serving coaches because I'm good at marketing. I'm good at business. I love that. But you're probably getting a sense of it. I'm so passionate about the personal and self-expression.
Yeah.
And so now I coach on both. We do the business world, we do the personal world. And a lot of people come to me because they want someone who can straddle both of those worlds and coach the whole person.
Love it. Well, thanks for giving us that background. And I can hear that you're really in your flow right now. You're kind of your hell yes area.
Right.
So good for you. So as we wind down, thanks so much for joining us. And where can we find you on the internet, David? And maybe mention again about the four-step blueprint.
Yeah. So you can find me on playforreal.life, playforreal.life. And you can download the four-step blueprint. You can subscribe to my podcast. And if you manage a team of people or you have a company, then check out the Just-In-Time Tough Conversations coaching. I believe every company should have a tough conversations coach so that we can transform the culture and people are talking more, resenting less, and quitting less. So that's the Just-In-Time Tough Conversations team coaching. I'm very excited about that.
Cool. That sounds like a good ROI there, right? And probably save companies a lot of money by just having that tough conversation. How much is that tough conversation worth out there, people?
Well, $7,500 is what the studies are estimating. Each tough conversation averages $7,500 that's avoided.
Oh, excellent. Well worth your whatever 20 minutes of your time. Okay. Well, I always like to wrap things up by saying hell yes on the count of three with my guests. So it would be sort of like a hell yes on the count of three. Are you willing to do that, David?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hell yes. All right. Well, David, thanks so much for joining me.
Pleasure, Norman. Appreciate you.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a hell yes life.